I apologize in advance for having to sit, or at least limp, this morning as I speak to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It hasn't even been a week since we celebrated Jesus' birth. You might remember we heard the familiar story. Mary and Joseph made their trip to Bethlehem for the tax. The angels announced the birth of a Savior to the shepherds who found a baby lying in a manger. We sang our familiar hymns and songs, our Christmas carols. We lit candles to dispel the darkness, and we exchanged gifts to remind ourselves of the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus, our Savior. For us, only a few days have passed. But for Mary and Joseph in our reading, 12 years have passed already. Jesus is partway grown. They have settled down in Nazareth and returned to a pretty much normal life. Joseph went about his work. Mary and Joseph together started to raise a family. You may not know that Matthew and Mark record the names of four brothers of Jesus and an unknown number of sisters, so they had a good-sized family. Luke doesn't mention any of them, but it was likely that the whole family traveled together, along with their extended family and kin, every year down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover together. That's the occasion of our lesson this morning. When the festival is over, they get ready to go home in a large caravan again. But by evening time, Mary and Joseph discover that Jesus is not with them. Jesus is missing. Now, to our modern minds, that may be something that would be pretty surprising. Mary, don't you know where your kids are? But then again, anyone who's ever had a 12-year-old really knows that the last thing they'd be caught dead doing is hanging out with their parents. So they assumed that Jesus was with other family and weren't worried until that evening when they settled down, did their head count, and Jesus wasn't there. So we might ask, how could they lose Jesus? Maybe that's a question for us. Stay tuned for that. Mary and Joseph go back on another day's travel to Jerusalem, and they search high and low to find Jesus. Finally, he turns up in the temple, of all places, teaching, listening, learning, reading scripture. There he is, astounding everybody with his knowledge. Now, Mary confronts him and says, "Why did you treat me this way?" Now, I would think Luke is editing this, because if I had been missing for a day and my mother finally found me, it would not be just one little mild little sentence. It would be ballistic war. But nevertheless, Mary scolds Jesus and he responds, "Why were you looking for me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" Can I grab the water? Thank you. It's interesting that the way that the King James translates this, "I must be about my Father's business," is actually more accurate than the one we have. "I must be in my Father's house." Nevertheless, here Jesus is talking about his own vision of who he is and what his mission is to be about, God's plan for the world already. It is interesting that Luke is the only gospel writer that tells this story. And you may know that Matthew is the only other gospel that tells a Christmas story at all. The other two have very different ways of approaching the birth of Jesus. Nevertheless, both Matthew and Luke have a way of trying to foreshadow what is to come in their birth narrative. In Matthew's gospel, the foreshadowing comes when Herod tries to kill all the little children in Bethlehem in order to kill that king that was to be born, that the Magi had followed the star to find. Now here in Luke, we have Jesus as a 12-year-old, and he's gone. He's missing. Jesus has gone missing. And when he does turn up, he's about his father's business. In other words, he's already at work in a plan. Luke tells us that Jesus didn't think he was lost, only his mother and father. Lost is an important theme for Luke. He has a whole chapter 15, that's dedicated to lost things, a lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost prodigal son. Well, here at the very beginning of Luke, we have a lost Savior, a lost Jesus. Where did Jesus go? They couldn't find him until they went to the temple. It won't be the last time that people think that Jesus is lost and found 3 days later. You might remember that when Jesus was crucified, two of his followers went on the road to Emmaus, and they felt that all was lost, that Jesus was lost, that everything he stood for was lost and gone. And then Jesus appears to them where they least expected him, walking along the road, talking about Scripture. Well, here at 12 years old, Luke has Jesus doing the very same thing. Jesus, hint, may be found when we study Scripture together. Maybe we too, though, sometimes lose track of Jesus. We think we've lost him. Or maybe he's lost us. We get fearful, feeling that he might be absent. We lost Jesus. Or angry when things don't go our way, when Jesus doesn't baptize our plans and our ideas and instead offers a different direction. We might get angry. Why didn't things go our way, Jesus? Well, maybe there's a better way. I bet all of us have felt that lost experience, that Jesus was so far away, so remote, that we thought maybe we've misplaced him, or maybe he's ignoring us. Now, it's true, Jesus did say, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But here's the thing. Sometimes we think that he's not there. Sometimes we think that he's missing, that he's lost, that he's gone AWOL, when in fact, the problem isn't Jesus, the problem is us. Sometimes we get angry when everything we want repaired and fixed doesn't happen right away. Maybe we lose heart when things get difficult and it doesn't seem that our plans are being fulfilled, and we blame God. We say, "Where did you go? Have you left me?" Well, it's not that he's left us. It's that we often have forgotten him, or ignored him, or failed to follow him. Our second lesson in Colossians gives us good advice about how we can and should follow Jesus, how we might also be about his Father's business. Paul says that we should clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and above all, love one another and forgive each other. In other words, we are to be about the same business, about the same actions as Jesus did. We're to follow his example, because even though we can't see him, he's not lost, he's not gone, he's with us. It should be no surprise that we sometimes fear his absence. Sometimes we feel that he's so far away, but he's not. We might even be going on with our lives and inadvertently leave him behind. We've got too much to do, many things to do, many directions to take. We're so busy, what about church, Bible, read that? Why, I don't have the time. And then we wonder, has he gone absent? No, he's always with us. You might remember the Christmas good news that his nickname is Emmanuel. God is with us. There is this foreshadowing in this story, however. Jesus was lost and is found after 3 days. We know a time when he was lost and reappeared in 3 days. We also know that he was found, he was discovered inadvertently walking along the road, talking scripture, just as we're doing now, just as we do every week. Jesus was there, as Jesus is here with us. He's not lost. He's here with us. That's the Christmas gospel. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.